Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Here we are on Identity Theft of the Self. My intro didn't play. Let's try it. There it goes.
Welcome to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell. You can find us at ellenhartwell.com. We invite you now to remember who you are. You are empowered. You are not who your parents, friends, lovers, or co-workers say you are. You are not what the media tells you you are, and you are certainly not subject to advertising hype, right? You are you. John and I will help you to find you. Call in now, 845-277-9406. That's 845-277-9406. And again, welcome to Identity Theft of the Self.
And here we are. We're glad you've joined us this wonderful Saturday at noon Eastern Standard Time and 9 Pacific Time. John, my dear co-host, how are you today?
I'm very good. It's 9 for me, Ellen. Still early on Saturday.
I know.
Being a West Coast guy. And you know what? We had to have a little glitch. It just had to happen because it's been a while since either of us have been on Blog Talk Radio.
I programmed to start. That's my intro, and it didn't. So you know what? It's just one of those things, John. We don't sweat the small stuff. You know, identity theft of the self is such an interesting topic. And one of the things I think would be really cool to start with is, you know, how we all know about the secret and science of mind and law of attraction and yada, yada, blah, blah. And it's all really good stuff. And we do our affirmations and we stand on our head and spit with nickels and we write it down and we write our checks for $10 million. And we believe, we believe, we believe. The problem is we do not. Because we don't believe, because if we really believed, it would be there. And consciously, we may have all that down pat, but have we integrated it into an emotional, intellectual, spiritual embodiment of a truth which takes us to belief? I contend that we can, and in some areas we do, but not all. Why? You might ask why. And what I would say to you is because of identity theft of the self, because we're taught not true. I mean, John, when we're little kids and we believe in miracles, it's just a normal thing. And then slowly but surely, let's get practical here, Johnny. Money doesn't grow on trees, you know. You have to work hard. Let's say you wanted to be a neurosurgeon, but your father wanted you to be an architect. Right away, there's that input, I should probably be a neurosurgeon and not an architect. Oh, my God. It starts very, very young, unless we have very conscious parents, which I didn't, you didn't, most people don't. Then we're told, no, that can't be. And then we go into the advertising and everything that we're just bombarded with. It's a terrible economy, you know, John. We all better be scared because we don't really believe we can create our own economy and so forth. So who we authentically are, our true divine self, gets all pushed aside and crunched down in there like a little pellet. And it's our job to release that pellet of truth, that pellet of authenticity, that pellet of belief, so that we then can believe and then we can and do create the reality that we desire. What do you have to say to that, my dear?
Well, first of all, I want to just tip my hat to you, Ellen, because you are warmed up for this show. You are just up at bat. You are ready to go, sister. And because you just sort of looked at that and was like, okay, I'm going to hit a home run. None of these singles to get to first base. Well, I concur with everything. I mean, what I would back up and just do is, what's so fascinating and great about the title, which you came up with, not me, so I'm not patting myself on the back there, is, you know, the idea that at some point our true selves, the reason why, because people spend so much time, and you know this and I know this from my own life, honestly, my own practice, and from people that I deal with and clients, so much time on what I would say the popular version of the law of attraction, the law of attraction that was popularized, you know, after The Secret, although it has certainly been around forever. The Secret actually was the least, it was not a great title because it wasn't a secret at all, but it became very popular, the law of attraction, after that. And what I like about this is, and what we're getting at, and I hope that we get at in the theme and the undertone of this show, is when you run up against a wall, because it is a little more deeper and more intense than, if I think about something a lot, I will get that thing. There is truth to that, but what you hit on in your opening is that important aspect of when it's not happening, getting into and looking at the reasons why it's not happening. And I want to say something really clear about that. Even though you really nailed some things in that, I actually don't think this is a hard process. I think it's simple, but once you sort of fully orb your mind around what's happening and address the stuff that's blocking it, and in my case, personally, it is patterns, exactly what you said, patterns that I learned consciously and unconsciously. And the other thing, growing up, that I've held on to, that, and I would just expand on what you said about those childhood patterns and say, the thing that's so, that can be, I'm going to qualify my words, I'm going to think about what I'm saying here, that can be so difficult and taxing about it is that they are not, the subconscious patterns that we picked up were just that. They were often subconscious. I mean, in other words, most of our parents who we appreciate didn't sit down and say, look, you have big hopes and dreams and I'm going to crush them. And to our 10-year-old children, do you know what I mean? Most of our parents didn't do that. I mean, certainly there are some very bad actors who become parents. I'm not questioning that. But most of our parents didn't say, I'm going to ruin your life. Most of our parents in our unconscious pattern were working on, coming out of their own unconscious patterns. That they were demonstrating out of their own unconscious patterns. And we picked up those unconscious patterns from them and we carry them on. And the important word here being unconscious. And so what I like about the theme of the show and what we're getting at here, Ellen, is finding techniques to identify what are conscious and unconscious patterns so that we can just chuck them if they don't serve us. The other thing I wanted to mention about what you said is that some of this stuff served us up to a point and then it doesn't serve us. One of the beautiful things about studying the law of attraction, and I mean this, isn't necessarily that you automatically get everything that you want, but by practicing the practice, what we find out is what's holding us back from being the expanded beings that we are, the God consciousness that what we are. And it's actually a blessing. I can't tell you how many times I have spoken to clients who call me, have said, I'm glad I got stuck there. Because it forced me to go here and to look at this. And actually, it was a detour. I mean, it was a detour I appreciate and I'm grateful that I had to take because it brought this other element of my personality to the forefront. It brought this other project to the forefront, which was actually closer to who I really am.
Exactly. Well said. And I think it's also important, the conscious, the subconscious, the whole glom of what we are, the gestalt of what we are, is completely under our dominion the minute we believe and say that it is and work on that practice. One of the best things you ever said to me, John Warren, was, it is a practice. And so if I practice this every day with joy, with fun, with delight, not as a chore, but it's something that I truly desire to learn how to use these tools on a conscious and subconscious level, if I keep practicing, I will get better at it just like anything else. Have I got this nailed? Of course not. Am I working on that? Absolutely. I am working toward a goal. Somebody asked me the other day, John, what is the most exciting thing you're working on right now? You know, is it writing? Is it your book? Is it your psychic stuff? What is it? And I thought for a minute, and I thought, no, the most exciting thing I'm working on right now is my intimacy with my creator, God, spirit, universe, whatever someone believes for me, it's God, that God within me just waiting for me to break through my conscious and subconscious patterns and say, I am. Because once I get to that I am, all things are possible. And I find it to be such a thrilling and exciting and sometimes frustrating and sometimes maddening. Yes, that's all true. But what a journey it is to get in that flow, even for a second or two, and go, I am. And because I am, it is all mine. And I was designed to use these tools to cut through my patterns and create the reality that I truly desire from a mental, emotional, physical, spiritual perspective. So yes, breaking through those patterns is exciting. It can be challenging, but I pray and I believe for and I treat for the courage to look myself dead in the eye and say, ooh, that's a pattern. That's a good one. I'm going to keep that one. That serves me. Oh, that's a pattern. I don't like that one so much, so I think I'm going to work toward the goal of not having that pattern affect me anymore in my life. Yes, John? Yes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what I like about this, Ellen, is that I think a lot of teachers would say the tweak that we're putting on this is calling it a pattern instead of a belief system, because what you're defining actually is a belief. You have a belief about yourself that has resulted in this manifestation. And that's Law of Attraction 101 is what I would say. It's the first thing that you get coming out the gate. But it is actually a practice that never really goes far from basic training, because all we're doing our whole lives is sort of paying attention to what it is. And once we become conscious, Ellen, of our patterns, all we're doing is moving toward greater consciousness. It's actually not that difficult. It's very simple when you get right down to it. But it is a practice that lasts the rest of our lives, because we are created infinitely from an infinite source. We are finally returning and expanding infinitely. So it goes on forever. And honestly, I'm going to say that is my belief as of right now, but I don't want to be arrogant and say, well, there may come a time when I have practiced so much that I realize the next thing and there's not a language that I have for it. I want to go backwards just for a second, though, and say, so, I mean, we wound up and we started back on Blog Talk Radio, you know, going 100 miles an hour out the gate. And say, you know, back up to define some terms about identity theft of the soul, which I love, love, love that title. And it's because through all of the things that you listed, whether it's parenting, race, mind, consciousness, and I want to define what, if people are listening and they don't know what we mean by race, mind, consciousness, we don't mean a particular ethnicity or race. We mean the human race. What is it that the group puts forth? And that can even be boiled down to cultures. Like if you live in the United States, there are some overarching belief systems that may or may not, that you sort of, because you chose to be here when you incarnated this time in the United States at this time, you have some sympathy with, is what I would put. You have some empathy with the overarching belief systems of the United States. There aren't many that are specific, but there are a few. That's what we mean by race mind. It's essentially groupthink. What is the group belief system is what we mean by that. But race mind consciousness affects us as individuals, certainly our upbringing, and certainly the bombardment. I'm going to say it really is bombarding at this point of the media. All of those things affect us, and what we mean by identity theft in that case, mm-hmm. are they bringing us, meaning identity theft, meaning how do those things steal us away from who we really are? And I think it's important for us to, you know, sort of launch this series of conversations on that topic by saying that's what we're getting at here. Because most of the time when I'm stuck or I'm working with someone who is stuck, it is because they are off the center. They have a belief system that actually belongs to someone else. And it is impossible to sit in my car, demand that the car next to me go forward, and try to drive the car next to me. And that's what's happening here. Does that metaphor make sense?
Oh, yeah.
I just pulled that metaphor right out of the air. I hope it works. I've never used that one before.
Thank you, God. But, no, that's true. And I think in so many ways, we have forgotten who we are because of this identity theft of the self. We've forgotten who we are. And we'll get back to this in just a moment. We will be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self.
Remember, you knew in some mysterious way before you came here that you had all the tools within you to create the life you desire. Remember and incorporate your truths to disengage from what other people think you need and want. Enter now your authentic empire within and create the life you desire by growing past taught patterns and creating new workable ones. You can, will you?
So it's true. We've forgotten who we are, John. And by the way, welcome back to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell. We're so thrilled to see you here and to share with us. And oh, yeah, call in, talk to us. You must have questions about this or experiences you'd like to share or bah humbug or something. So we'd love to hear from you. Call in at 845-277-9406. Do call in, 845-277-9406. So, John, I think all of this, the patterns, the forgetting who we are, identity theft of the self, it all comes from we come in here and we slowly forget our power, our beauty, our joy, our delight. And then we put in things that are told us instead of told to us, instead of things that we really believe. Personal example. I said I was going to be a doctor from the time I could talk. I was going to be a doctor. That's it. Well, 66 years later, am I a doctor? No, but I am in the healing traditions, and I love it. So it didn't take the form that I might have liked it to in the beginning because my parents didn't think I was smart enough to be a doctor. And whether that's true or not, I believed it and gave up on a dream. I believed it and gave up on a dream. And so do I regret that or have resentment? No, because, John, if I really wanted to now, I could go be a doctor. I don't want to be because I love my work. I love what I'm doing now. But it's still that conscious and I'm sure subconscious desire took a perfect form for me given the life that I was going to create. Make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And it makes sense to me, and I'll unpack it even further and say there is, you know, that is the narrative, the sort of three-dimensional narrative looking forward is you came in this time around. I will keep reiterating that, whether you believe in reincarnation or not. But you came in this time around, Ellen, and fell in love with whatever, for whatever reasons, with I'm going to be a doctor. You had a family situation in which that belief that you, for whatever reasons, and who knows what, you know better than I do what baggage or what they were carrying with them, and said, no, you're not smart enough, or maybe they had a belief system about seeing women being doctors, or I don't know what it was, but that you, it got distorted and you got diverted, but the strength was so powerful, that impulse was so powerful that you found a way back around to helping people and healing people, which is what you do for a living. All of that's the straightforward narrative. I would even say going back a step further and looking at even the larger sense is that the macro lesson for this lifetime is that you've now done the diversion lesson. You don't need to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, people can, and the beauty, again, that's why I said the beauty of this practice of paying attention to your consciousness and directing it to manifesting things. It's not the things. It doesn't really matter about the things, though the things are fun. When you find that you're good at manifesting something or the practice can really be genuinely, specifically, literally a lifesaver. And all of that stuff is important. But the overarching theme is always, and Abraham Hicks actually hits on this often, over and over again, is that, it's never done, I don't know exactly how she puts it, but you're never done, and it's ongoing. And I just want to say the overarching lesson for this lifetime, if I didn't know you and I was just a client, is say, oh, well, own the lesson here is that now you've had the experience of having a dream diverted and you being strong enough to find a way back to something similar, a healing profession. And therefore, now you know something more about yourself. You don't need to divert your dream anymore. That lesson has been learned or that experience has been had. And it's absolutely true. And I always want to hammer away at this. I think this is important, Ellen, as we continue these conversations, to hammer away at it. Most of the time, not always, but 90% of the time, I don't think that you got the information or I got the information that diverted us in this lifetime from bad actors, meaning they were working at the highest level they could work at in that moment. And the only reason why I say that is because speaking of things that will divert us and stop us, Ellen, is I have found in my life that resentment is the number one offender.
Why, yeah.
Meaning owning, and you wouldn't even have gotten back to a healing profession had you held on to a lack of forgiveness.
And it goes to accountability. We're taught. Identity theft of the self. We're taught to blame somebody else. Oh, that's your fault, John. That happened. That's your fault. And you didn't let me this, and you wouldn't talk about this, and you wouldn't do this. So it's your fault. Wait a minute. I am creating my own reality, and I have dominion over my creation. And therefore, no, it's not about fault or blame. It's about where am I right now? What am I creating right now? And if I can stay in that, there is no room for resentment because I have a very full-time job creating what I desire. Therefore, whatever is in the past, yeah, it'll come up and I'll go, eh. And then I'll go, wait a minute, that is in the past. That echo from the past will have no impact on me today, and so it is. Yes?
90% yes.
Okay,
what I like talking about you, Alice.
Give me that 10%, John. Come on, let's hear it.
You got to know your story. Here's your 10%. You got to know your own story. And that means that for most people, including me, there is a process of I need to own, and we're talking about resentments, but we can talk about the media, we can talk about anything. Yes, you are 100% responsible for creating your reality after a certain point, after a certain level of consciousness is attained, meaning that and the process of attaining that consciousness is you got to own your own story. So you had to understand that you were raised by people who had belief systems that diminished your primary dream. The moment you could own that and process whatever feelings go through that reality and get to the other side of it. Most people are, and myself included, most people I've ever dealt with, and myself included, are people who had to process, and I'm still doing some of it, by the way, this is not done, had to process, what I'm going to say is process your own story, own your own story. Yes, that's actually who I was raised by. That's actually what happened. Then you can see it clearly and go, oh, I'm going to forgive that. I'm going to own that part, and I'm going to forgive that part, and I'm going to walk away from it. But the danger is, because it can get soupy, is what you don't want to do, you and I, anybody, is go into denial, because denial is fundamentally just resistance. And if you are resisting something, you are creating that thing, period.
Okay.
That is just a reality.
Hold on. Okay. John, just...
Yes.
Just come on now. Wait a minute. You mean I'm not accountable for the reality I created until I'm 6 or 10 or 9 or 12?
Well, what are we going to talk about for the rest of the shows? We're doing it all right now, Ellen, in the first half hour.
Good thing we're going to be on for a few weeks, because we got a lot of material here. Go
well,
ahead.
We'll end up going backwards. But what I want to say to you is, yes, spiritually speaking, this is intellectual. You cannot go in. This does not go into my heart or my lower chakras at all. This is absolutely, I have come to understand this and have faith in it. Yes, in the broadest sense, in the sense that you are an expression of an infinite soul, that you are going to be Ellen in this lifetime and somebody else, and you're going to do something else. You're going to keep going, whatever your belief systems are, is that in the broadest sense, before you entered, you knew what you're getting yourself into. There are levels of unconsciousness, though. But again, the danger here, we're talking about very dangerous stuff that should, I'm going to say something. It's not that it should be avoided, but it's topics that should be dealt with very carefully when we talk about the law of attraction. Because it doesn't serve anybody. Because you know what the next step is. Then why did that child drown? And that is the next question. Let me finish my thoughts. I think this is important. Is the most important thing to say that is, what is the usefulness of us discussing that? A. B, it should be discussed. It can't be diminished. That child in the form of a child has no responsibility for that. I'm not going to be in a world. That's not what happened there. The soul that expressed itself, that is now currently quite happy in its next incarnation, actually knew that there was a probability that they would land here, there would be a crisis, there was an expression of learning. But again, that is intellectual. That cannot diminish our compassion for things like a child drowning or horrible things that happened, the people who appear absolutely, you know, who are in just harm's way. That's what I want to say about that.
Okay, and I totally agree with you, and I get that. I think we need to have empathy for all sentient beings, period. I do. And I think that there is I want to rephrase that. I believe that there is no room for blame. It's not my fault. It's just I'm creating this. And maybe before I came here, you know, I personally do believe that before I came here in this incarnation as Ellen Hartwell, that I did choose to have certain experiences. I did not choose the form of those experiences, but I did choose to have certain experiences as I went along in my life. The form is none of my business. So yes, I don't believe in blaming anybody. I don't believe that we should be in denial. I don't believe that we should be in resentment or blaming. I do believe that practicing the joy of right now, the joy of this moment, can help us to look with courage and without blame or resentment at our patterns, which steal from us the joy that we can have. That's what I wanted to say there, John. And I agree with what you said. I don't think it's dangerous territory. So let's use your example. So somebody's child, God forbid, drown in the swimming pool. Is that mom or dad's fault, or is it the child's fault? I don't think there's even a discussion about fault. I think there's great empathy for that person's loss. I think there's great empathy for what that family's going through and support. And I am here to hear you. One of the most important things you ever said to me, John, we need to be willing to listen to others, yes, extremely and critically important, and to overhear ourselves. Because when we can overhear ourselves, we would never say, well, you created that, so tough cookie for you. Of course not. We go, oh my God, what can I do? You know, I'm here for you. I'm praying with you. I'm believing with you. You know, all that. Of course we don't go, oh, well, it's your fault, so don't come crying to me. Of course not. And it's nobody's fault. It's we're creating experience, and as we create experience, we get better at using those tools, breaking negative patterns so there isn't identity theft of the self, and we can move forward with increasing joy as we move through this experience that we call life. And on that note, we are going to take a very brief break. We will be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self.
Don't drown in your negativity. Find that positive thought. Visualize it. See it. Feel it. Hear it. Believe it. Keep doing that until negativity slowly fades away. The positive comes in. You have it. You don't want it. You don't need it. You have it. You can feel it. You sense it in every cell in your body. Why do affirmations work? Because the more positive we are, the more we believe what we're seeing, feeling, hearing, and believing. And then your desires will manifest in this reality. You have it. Don't drown in negativity. Drown in the positive essence of your real, authentic, true self.
God, I love those bubbles.
I don't know if I want to take a bath or drink champagne or both, right? Watch Lawrence Welk. This will hit it all. We'll do all the bubbles.
Yeah.
Before we move on, this is important stuff. And I guess what it is, in terms of expressing and helping people along to focus on the law of attraction, I don't mean it's dangerous. I think we can have any conversation about anything. I feel safe in that. I think it's dangerous because at levels of consciousness, people can use stuff like that to walk away from their own growth. Well, it can't be true. The world is random. It is a horrible and scary place. People are awful. And that is, your last break was about what we tell ourselves, essentially. It was the same thing. Affirmative, we're talking ourselves into the reality that we want. That's what an affirmation really is. And and once we actually have that cord in, that the things will start to come up and manifest that actually reflect that belief.
Right.
That's what the point of affirmation is. I don't want people to do the opposite, and I don't want myself to do the opposite. When I was first starting this practice, I actually consciously, and still on occasion, that bad habit will come up.
Okay.
I will look for the affirmative that makes me not responsible. The beautiful thing about taking 100% responsibility is that it's 100% freeing. And, that's the reason why when you said, I am going to own this in the earlier part of the conversation we're having, is that I did this, is that it is actually 100% liberating to go there.
Oh,
and
transparency is healing.
And it's transcendent as well. Even if it hurts and it's humiliating, I had a recent situation where my first reaction was something got screwed up. My first reaction was, my very first reaction was, I'm going to figure out a way to spread the blame around. I'm not going to blame somebody else, but I'm going to spread the blame. And I actually sent an email to that effect. I'm revealing something here in a totally different context. And then I spent 5 minutes and went, no, that's not true. And I wrote bluntly, that was weasel words. That is not true. I wrote, and I took 100% myself. I said, this was my fault. And it was liberating. And you know what? It freed things. It freed up the energy around that so it could move on and get solved around that mistake. And that's what the beauty of owning all of our lives boils down to. Even when it's hard, man, it is hard sometimes for me personally. I don't want to affirm that too much, but
needed. Yeah, of course, John, and I know what you're talking about, and I think you handled it with eloquence. But I feel that I really believe, John, that's why we need each other. I need you to help me on this path. You need me. We move forward, others, of course, as well. And as we move forward, we can help each other find those patterns. What are we paying attention to that is identity theft of the self? Who are you really? And do you have the courage to express that, which is expressing greater and greater amounts of consciousness, which is already there? And as we do that, we can be excited for each other. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes or have bad habits or whatever. Well, I won't speak for you, John, but I know I do. And that's okay because I'm a work in progress. But what gives me great joy is to know that the more I, as you taught me, overhear myself, the more I can work on those things, get to those patterns, and really listen to myself. Oh, gee, I'm really down, and or I'm really sad, or I'm really whatever. Wait a minute. Ew. If I'm having a problem, I'll find somebody I trust and talk about it because I think it's important to unpack it and get a handle on it and move forward. But I don't go around in the world expressing that. No, I mean, you know this, John, years ago I was so in debt, I couldn't see straight. Well, what did I do? I didn't win the lottery. I used the tools available to me, including law of attraction, religious science, and friends who were supportive and helpful on my journey, and said, no, I have no debt. I have no debt. I have no debt. And anything in me that does not believe that is now removed from me and rendered harmless to the universe. And I kept doing it. And I kept doing it. And any time a negative thought came up, really, you think you're going to get out of this amount of debt? Are you crazy? You never are. You know you can't. You don't earn enough. I'd go, nope, that's not true. I have no debt. And 6 years later, John, I have no debt.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's my question for you, Ellen, because I want to get to the patterns. What is the belief system that was under that? Because I was just thinking about a pattern that I was unconscious of until really recently, decades into my life, that I've discussed with you, and I went, oh, my goodness. I've now paid enough attention to myself long enough that I go, oh, that's a pattern, and that holds me back from greater expression. I want to say my greater good, but greater expression. So what was the pattern? I mean, what was the belief that was underneath debt
the belief for you? Yeah, the belief that was underneath debt, and I don't want to go into details, John, because they're personal, they're intimate, but
that's fine.
I believed in a person. Note that. I believed in a person who was going to share a certain expenditure with me, a very large one. And that didn't happen because instead of going, God is my source, God is my source, I went, that person is my source. And then I became overwhelmed with debt. And I mean, it was a nightmare, and it kept self. I'm so in debt. I'm so in debt, John. I'm Sadiq.
Yeah, yeah.
I am so in debt. And it just was a snowball going downhill. And then through friends and mentors, I realized, yeah, and as long as I say I'm going to, that pattern will repeat itself. God is the great multiplier. So if I say, I'm so in debt, what am I going to do? Guess what? I'm going to run through my life going, I'm so in debt, what am I going to do? I broke the pattern through faith, belief, affirmations, and support from people who were in religious science and law of attraction, all of that, that helped me to begin to see that as I said it, it would be so. And so I stopped and I went, I don't have any debt. I don't, even when I was $60,000 in debt, I don't have any debt. I have no debt. Now, I don't mean I lied to people. I mean in my private conversations with God. I have no debt. I have no debt. Mm-hmm. And little by little and gradually and over time, I began to get out of debt so that my affirmation was no longer a lie. It was an absolute truth. I have no debt because it was always true. I just had to believe it. I had to believe it. And I got there through practice, by listening to myself, and of course by working. But all of that came together and broke the belief that I needed to be in crisis.
That's exactly what it is, Ellen. I have worked with my own issues around this same stuff, and certainly with other people. I mean, you know, there are only a few really big topics that someone who comes to you and I have, and it's romance or finance. Those are the big ones. And so you and I have dealt with this a lot in our, you know, you've just admitted to yourself, I will admit too, that I've dealt with this in my own self and with other people. And you just landed it. It is often, that's what the pattern is. It is often a belief in crisis that, in my case, or what in my own case, and what I've dealt with people, a belief in crisis, or that crisis makes you alive, or that crisis needs to happen, that is emergent out of stuff around self-esteem. You put faith. I mean, I don't even know what the situation is, so I can't divulge anything. But faith, I mean, and it is a pattern that many, many, many people have, putting our faith in people, places, in things, instead of the source that created us. And in this case you just described, it was a person. I've certainly done that. Or when this happens, I will change. I mean, things will be better. I will suddenly have. And the last thing I want to add on that was a really interesting expression of how you got to hear a pattern, feel a pattern, know a pattern, and break a pattern. But you did all of that stuff that we talk about, but you also showed up for the obvious avenues for where it was going to happen. And I think this is really something that I have learned over the years has been important for me, is there is an element of staying out of source or God's way. I don't know exactly how this is going to get solved. I know it's going to change. I know that. But that doesn't mean that if you want to buy a house, that you want to manifest a house, that you don't call a realtor. You know what I mean? Or you know, whatever that is. It doesn't mean that if you want to write a best-selling book, that you don't have to sit at the computer at some point and actually start typing. It's not just going to manifest. Now, there may be a reality sometime when we get to a greater, much greater level where that is in fact true. But it isn't true for anybody on earth now that I know of. And you do have to show up. And in other words, you kept going to work. You kept doing your thing along the way. But instead of going to work and telling yourself, I am in crisis because I don't have enough money because I haven't been debt, you went to work, you or anybody, this is true of anybody, showed up to work going, well, I am so grateful that I am solvent or I am debt-free or whatever it was the affirmation was for you. I'm so grateful that that's happening now. And eventually you do talk yourself into it. I want to say this. This is really important. And something I have observed, Ellen, in terms of not only do I believe in, you know, our mentors and our teachers and all that other stuff and overhearing ourselves, what is the story I'm telling myself today about myself? Mm-hmm. I think that's important. But it's also important because we're so media saturated. Sometimes as a little game is I will watch a little bit of media. And it's political season coming up, so we can do that. What does that person actually believe about themselves? Mm-hmm. And what is it that they're expressing? What have they done in their life? So what is the belief system that manifested that? And it's interesting. I don't want to touch on anybody in particular, but it has been interesting. No, I'm not going to. I mean, I know you and I will later, I'm sure, when we're off the air.
I'm teasing you.
But it doesn't even matter if it's a pop star. Name a name. What is the belief system undergirding the Kardashians? Genuinely, not that they're, you know, sexy or whatever, but what is the belief system there? What is going on there? And I'm not saying I am not judging that. I am saying observe it and infer it. It's actually a very good practice. And
I think if we because successful people, John, and we all define success differently, but by race mind, the archetype of successful, money, power, blah, 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 if we look at these people carefully, they never say, I'm not that. I am this. And they have broken through their patterns. Maybe they broke through them earlier than you or I would, but they've broken through their identity sense, their identity theft of the self by saying, no, I will be, or I am a movie star, I am on a reality TV show, or I am on Blog Talk, or I am the mother of 20 children, or whatever it is, whether we agree with it or not, whether we think it's insane or not, they have a determination that comes from their authentic, untampered with by any race, mind, consciousness, self. And so they express it.
I would say, I mean, the only thing I would say on that is because there's a lot of people that I'm thinking of. I mean, in this case, I look at them and I think, well, it's not about success or not success. It's just about manifestation because, I mean, I look at the Kardashians and it actually doesn't really interest me at all. But it is interesting to watch how they manifest and how they sort of, it is interesting to look at that. But to me, it doesn't interest me, so I don't put it in the success category, I guess. But it's just as a manifestation. The only thing I would say, Ellen, is the word I'm not sure about is determination, because they have decided. Determination is forceful and focused, and all I would say is that I have noticed when you look at people that sort of come at us and people in our lives, but it's a fascinating diversion, fun project to look at them and go, okay, that person has decided that they are this in this position. They aren't actually, in a weird way, they aren't working toward it. Once you've decided that you are that, and you are living in the world as that, whatever it is that you want to manifest, it actually becomes a sort of reflective backwards. The world sort of starts bringing things in towards you that prove your point. And the other thing is, I a lot of people obviously come in with you and I would call a leg up, but that's meaning their parents were already rich, so of course it was easier for them to make another billion. Yeah, and that is that's something to be said, but that's actually just another unconscious truth. Whether they're determined or not, they believe that the world is full of abundance, and so it's quite easy for them to manifest more. I mean, Jesus actually nails this. The poor will always be with us, but it is done unto you as you believe. And, you know, rich kids tend to believe in rich, and so they manifest more rich. That's what it says. That was the point I wanted to make about that.
Well, and it's a good one and an important one. We are going on a very brief break, and we will be back for the last 15-minute segment, so don't go anywhere. And if you would like to call in, please do share with us 845-277-9406. That's call in. Share with us at 845-277-9406. We will be right back.
Visit EllenHartwell.com for psychic readings, psychic mentoring, assistance in using the law of attraction, and so much more. Contact Ellen or John by email as well, EllenHartwell@mac.com. Enjoy EllenHartwell.com and contact us today.
That's right, EllenHartwell.com. You can find us there. If you want help with any of that stuff or just get a psychic reading, we're there for you. And we'd love to have you join us during this last segment. Come on, be brave, call in. 845-277-9406. We look forward to your thoughts. And John, pertinent to what you were saying, in the environment in which we live, if it's poor, we're going to have more of a challenge, shall we say, to overcome thoughts of poverty. If it's wealthy, maybe that won't be our challenge, but something else will be. And so I believe we create some of these challenges so that we can look at who is stealing my identity. Who is it? Is it you who said, well, he'll never be a doctor, or you better marry rich because, you know, there's no money when we're gone. I mean, whatever we've been told, or the media tells us or whatever, that is all stealing from us who we authentically are. Our authentic self is the self that we came here to manifest, which is in some form an ambassador of creation, love, joy, harmony. And so as we do that, as we get rid of, as we work through and dispel all of this identity theft that's going on and bombarding us all the time, we can take a moment and say, is that real for me? Or is that not real for me? Because my neighbor might think that she cannot have any sense of self that's good unless she has Gucci shoes. And for me, I like to go barefoot. So it's not a right or a wrong. It is, what is your desire? How are you going to manifest it? And what patterns are breaking you away from that true ability to manifest? Yes?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's, again, I mean, if there's a theme for our first episode here, Ellen, it is for me anyway, it is pay attention to what you're telling yourself. And that's, again, what you just said was, what you just said was we're so much information. And this is, again, I can't believe I'm doing this in this first hour, but I will keep doing it. This is interestingly, absolutely a theme for me. It's something I've had to address with in my life. Is that true? And I always go back to my story about jazz. I had a very dear friend for a very long time. She loved jazz. She always wanted to go to jazz. I live in a big city. There's lots of jazz everywhere. And I'm probably over exploding the story, but it felt like, oh, my God, another jazz concert. Good Lord. And I finally had to, it made her happy. I got to hang out with her. I finally had to cop to and say, no, I hate jazz. And no offense to anybody who loves jazz, different strokes. You know, I don't want to go and I don't want to see it anymore. It bores me. I don't like it. And it has been a struggle. It was a struggle in that moment. It's no longer such a struggle for me to say, oh, I like this. I don't like that. I like Gucci shoes. I like going barefoot. Owning that is actually a big chunk of, because the moment you start owning even the small things, I like to wear blue sweat pullovers. I like it. I like blue on me. I like the feel. I like what I look like in blue. The moment you start owning the small things like that, then patterns actually start falling away. You can actually see, and not all patterns are bad, by the way. The negative patterns, the patterns that are stopping you from manifesting what it is that you're working on.
Right.
We're all working on stuff that hasn't happened. It's like, well, why hasn't that happened? Because there's something in there that's stuck. There's some pattern that you're still getting a payoff from. And like you said, Ellen, I mean, I do believe in the smallest of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it serves. Well, on some level, I don't like serves you because it feels
I know
like.
You don't. I do. So, no.
I just think it's cold. There's something, you know, like, when something serves me, I expect the butler from that movie, from, you know, Arthur, from that movie Arthur, to walk in and give me breakfast. Here's your crappy belief system that serves.
Well, that's exactly what's happening. But do you see that? It's hysterical because here comes the butler. I'm a very scared person, and it's on a platter. And you get to pick up that fork and knife and eat it, or you don't. You can choose to be willing to learn not to, or I'm very poor. And you can pick up that knife and fork, and you can eat it or not. But how do the negative pattern serves us? Because we, the ego, wants to stay right where we are, right now, no change. No change. So I'm going to scare the ever-living poopy out of you if you even discuss change. We have to override that and say, change is good. I embrace change. And as Mark Twain said, I am more than what is between my hat and my boots. And so therefore, those patterns that serve me, sorry, John, those patterns that serve me are there for a reason, and some of them are wonderful. But those that aren't, I'm going to say, excuse me, Mr. Butler, I did not order that, but thank you so much. Have a lovely day. May you live long and prosper somewhere else.
Yeah, I would just say, I think wording does matter. It's not the be-all and end-all, but wording does matter for me. And I would say how I would address that, and people, you know, can address it as serves you, is I would say something more along the lines of, oh, this worked for what I wanted at some point, and it no longer works for me. So I am now conscious of it not working for me, and so I'm going to use the tools I've learned to break this pattern, or to even walk. You don't need to break it. Just walk around it, or let it go, or move past it. Is what I would say about that. I don't know why. It's silly. My stuckedness is silly. The other thing is, Ellen, and it's important here because, again, I don't want to be too glib. I want to be a little glib because I like being glib, but I don't want to be too glib and say most people who come to me, and when I am compassionate about myself, are unaware of the patterns that they are stuck with. They're keeping them from moving forward. And so it isn't just like, oh, I am invested in poverty because it keeps me small and safe, and I want to be small and safe because I have a belief system that if I get larger in my life, I'll get hurt. Most people aren't unaware of that belief, and so you have to guide them, and God or whatever you want to call it, Source has guided me gently toward, oh. And on occasion, it's been harsh, actually. Not always, but 90% of the time, it's been a gentle guiding toward. You actually think the reason this is happening over and over again, John, is because you believe this. Oh, I see. And so, you know, that's what I would say is most people I know just are not aware of what they're unaware of. That sounds really ridiculous and obvious, but there it is.
Well, no, but it's not ridiculous and obvious, and I don't disagree with you, John. I think a little bit of semantics here, and besides, it's fun to give you a hard time. But
sure.
But however we word that, if we overhear ourselves and we look at identity theft of the self being that which takes us away from our true self, the one that can manifest, the one that will see its desires in some form here on earth right now, then we can start to look, listen, and undo some of those knots inside of us, because our unbelief and those patterns and identity theft and all that, those are spiritual blood clots. And unless we have a clear flow, we're not going to manifest as quickly as we'd like to. So as we get more positive, as we work on our belief, as we hear ourselves, as we show empathy for others, and as we get the courage to really look at these patterns, I can say, wow, that person may feel her best in Gucci shoes, and I feel my best in being barefoot, and I do not judge it. That's her choice. This is mine. We're freeing ourselves, and it may seem like a small thing, but in fact, it isn't, because I've just broken a pattern. Now, she thinks she has to have Gucci's to be all that in a bag of nutshells. Well, wait a minute. I don't have a right to judge that. That's a spiritual blood clot. If that's what she enjoys, that's fine. And we relax. Our shoulders come out from under our ears, and we go, oh, that's her way. It may not be mine. And we're starting to identify patterns. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense to me. I mean, yes. I mean, this episode is about, you know, the fact that patterns keep us in places, and the moment we start identifying it, the moment we can start molding them and changing them and move forward with, you know, compassion, humor, and more compassion.
And
I going forward
to me, yeah. Mm-hmm. I said humor is quite important to me, as you can tell. And, John, we have a little over 3 minutes left of this show, so I kind of like to do it. It went by so fast I can't stand myself. But anyway, we will be back next week at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, 11 Central, and we'd love to have you join us again. We'd love to have you call in. If you want to contact me, you can, Ellen Hartwell at Mac.com. That's M like Mary, A like Apple, C like Candy, Ellen Hartwell at Mac.com. If you have questions or you'd like to ask a question, and I'll have it answered on the show for you next week. And John, to wrap this up quickly, I think we're starting to get a picture here of how we can identify identity theft of the self, how we can learn to hear ourselves, and how we can unpack some of that so that we can create the reality we desire. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree 139%, maybe 140. It's hard to say at this point.
Well, John, you know, you're slow to get on board, but let's hope it gets up to 200%. And in the 2 minutes we have left, John, I'm going to ask you, you're going to hate me now, under 2 minutes, John, what is consciousness?
Oh, my God, Ellen, you are a piece of work. You know what? Consciousness is everything that's happening. Consciousness is everything that's happening. In your perspective, from wherever you are right now. And the idea is that it's the totality of all of it. Some of it is not apparent to you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is not apparent to you. Our job is not only to be here to grow and express love, it is our job to understand that we are made in the likeness and image of our Creator, and by virtue of that, to use the powers that we're endowed with. Most of us, most of our powers are unconscious, meaning they're not apparent to us. It is what consciousness, finally, in a nutshell, in a few words, is God emerging.
Yes. Perfect. God emerging through us and around us at all times. And we can get more conscious, ladies and gentlemen, by doing these things. We will, I promise, we will be back next week, same time, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, 11 Central. And do email me, Ellen hartwell@mac.com if you have any questions. We thank you for joining us today, and may you go out there and create the best day you've ever created. And John, I want to thank you for co-hosting this show with me. You're brilliant, you're fun, and I just love to give you a hard time anyway.
You know what, Ellen? Back at you. And you know what? You and me and everyone listening is God emerging. Know that no matter what you do today, I'm watching college football, and I'm going to do that as God emerging. Have
there
a good week.
There you go. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye.